Da-na-na. Da-na-na. Welcome to the Toddcast. Thursday
What's up,
Warriors.
everybody? Oh my God. Guys, like, I gotta tell you, I have done a whole lot of nothing today. And it's, well, I take it back. It wasn't nothing. But I pretty much, like did not do any NDC stuff today. Like, I had a bunch of stuff because I'm going out of town for the weekend for a thing. And like all day, all I did was like answer questions, type. It was like working, just not for the store. It was very weird. So we had an issue with the elevator in Elwood, so I got that phone call. I still gotta order some stuff for the con. I ordered our brand new wristbands for the show this year, yesterday.
Nice,
Super sexy.
nice,
Noice.
very
Noice.
nice. From my wife.
I found this awesome throwback Avenger shirt that I forgot that I had. So with Black
Double
Knight on it.
nice.
Hell
Yeah.
yeah. Before everybody thought Black Knight was cool, when Black Knight was not very cool, but I liked him a lot.
Yeah.
It's a good time. So what's going on with you today,
Oh.
Tanner? Anything fun? How was work?
It was good. Priced a lot of books.
How's the dollar sale coming?
Surprisingly, only one guy has been there. I'm very
Really?
surprised. Yeah.
That
So,
blows my frickin' mind.
yeah, I'm very surprised. So, he bought three longs already and he's working on his next three. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, guys, just remember that we're doing a long box sale, 125 plus tax for one box, two box. But when you get to three box, it's 300 plus tax for all three. So you save 75 bucks when you do it that way. And this is also, people have to remember, like, this is half the cost that we had them. Like, if you like when we had the basement sale, it was 250 a box. So this
Cutting
is
prices
half that
so
price.
low, I could
Right.
poop.
Please buy all these so I don't have to move them in May. Thank you. And the
Yes.
sale runs through Free Comic Book Day, just so you guys know. And then just so you know, we're gonna announce it officially here. The waterfront is sliding. They're gonna cha-cha slide to the other side
Or do the electric slide.
of Michael's, and then they're gonna also hop over Old Navy, and we're gonna be in the spot where the MMA guy is. And then we will not move for a minimum of 4 years, I promise you. But it's gonna be a lot of fun doing that. And
Got a cool
we
game space
obviously
there.
yeah, it's gonna have a mezzanine for gaming.
Yeah.
The unfortunate part is it's not gonna have a ton of dollar book space. So you guys are gonna have to buy them now. You basically have
Yeah,
a
come get them
month.
now.
Like, come
For
and get them.
125, who even cares if you get doubles, right?
Right? Who cares if it has a cover at 125?
Yeah.
But we will be filtering some of those boxes out to the other stores in the meantime. So you're gonna want to come and do that while they're there, because I'm coming to take another 50 boxes out this week, just so you guys know. So be prepared. Be prepared.
We
Like a
also,
Boy
and we have
Scout.
some really good books too. If anybody's, I put a post up on Facebook, but we have like a graded copy of like the first Galactus, a graded copy of first Silver Surfer. We've got first Deadpool. We have first Phoenix, first Iron Fist. Oh my God, so many books, good books that we just bought recently. So I have those
Nice.
all displayed. You guys should come check them out.
Nice. It's cool. I looked at a collection yesterday that had a first Harley in it, but the lady wanted to think about it, so she took them home. So
Bummer.
now when she brings them back, I have to redo all the pricing again. It's a
That's a
bummer.
bummer.
Yeah. But a lot of
Can you
actually
see
good
me?
collections. Yes, you keep going in and out, but I can see you now.
Okay.
A lot of good collections coming in the stores. It's really good. I really enjoy it. So stop doing that. What are you doing?
Can you, what is
Stop.
happening?
It keeps flickering out to just your name.
Oh, now I'm good. I did split screen views so I could grab the images for my books.
Okay. I had to turn on your screen share. So, all right. Well, so the other stuff we got coming up, just a reminder, this Saturday coming up, the Mills is having a sale. It's their anniversary sale. Holy crap. I think we've been in that place 11 or 12 years. It's crazy. It's a long time. It's going to be longer than that. No, that's about right. About 12 years. So, lots of sales going on. And from 12 to 3, Jim Rugg will be there signing this bad boy and all the covers of it that they have. So make sure you, get out there and get that and take advantage of some of the sales. It's going to be a good time. That's Saturday, not tomorrow. I don't know why I said tomorrow. Yeah. I meant Saturday. Two weeks from today, we have our next cosplay karaoke event down at the Hard Rock. That'll be a good time. Nice. Then we have the Memorial Day, or no. Yeah. Memorial Day cookout? Nope, free comic book days first. See? Sneaks in there, that free comic book day.
Yeah.
Free comic day for Saturday in May. Then we have the Kryptonite beer thing this year, which we've done with Butler Brew Works. It's basically a drink and draw. So a bunch of artists show up and then they draw on the labels and then you can raffle to get a ticket for the beer. It's kind of cool. Yeah. It's going to be pink kryptonite this year. So that's kind of neat. Nice. And then after that is Memorial Day cookout at Cranberry, which will be outside, which is kind of doubles as like an anniversary sale for them. And then the big deal, the cheese, which is
stands alone,
which is Three Rivers Comic Con. And I have a cool I have two announcements for you. One is that Aftershock is confirmed to come. I don't know who they're bringing yet, but at least Steve Rotterdam will be there. I know they're looking into bringing somebody. They're going to let me know. And SourcePoint just sent me an email, and they are bringing Chris Tadlock, Garrett Gunn, and Josh Werner. So that's what? Broken Gargoyles and Good Boy, I think is... And there's... What's the other book? There's another book.
Little Red Ronin is the one that's not out yet.
No. I meant of those three creators.
Oh.
I know Garrett's doing Little Red Ronin, but...
Yeah. He's a cool guy, so...
Yeah.
Come see him for sure. He's coming
in all the way from LA. So...
Nice.
He does enjoy Scooby Snacks, just so you know. him and Hibbert are going to get along very well.
Yeah.
So anyway, come check it out. Remember, tickets are on sale right now. You can go to your local New Dimension Comics and pick them up too. You can buy them on the website. And you're going to want to get them before Free Comic Book Day, because the day after, all the ticket prices are going to go up. So... make sure you check that out and at least get a weekend pass. It's like $20. And if you're worried about parking, I'm going to debunk it like I did for the dude on our Facebook. He was complaining about parking being crazy downtown. And I said, here's the website, PGH parking or parkpgh.com, or you can download the same app. It tells you in real time how many spaces are left per garage, the price per garage per day, and the weekend rate. So if you punch in the cultural district on there, you're going to find three garages within three blocks of the convention center that have $5 all day parking on weekends. So that means if you find the right parking spot, you're going to spend $30 for the whole weekend to get in and park. If you just get the weekend pass right now, at most you're going to pay $13 a day. So however you want to do that is cool. We do have some cool beer announcements coming and some VIP package announcements coming, hopefully by the end of next week. I just need Todd to sit down and talk to me now that he's hanging out again. Well, we got a lot of, and I need to talk to him about all the waterfront move stuff too. So, you know, I need him for 10, 15 minutes. We'll see if I can get that next week. If not, I'm just going to go to his house, bring a six pack and go, now you're going to talk to me. So, all right. All right. Yes. Ron, Garrett is awesome. Ron stopped down when Garrett and Christina stopped for the good boy signing. That was a great time. I bought a tour shirt. I don't know if anyone else did, but I wore it the other day and somebody was like, where the hell did you get that shirt? And I'm like, done. So I have a poll for you guys. So Tim, I don't know if you want to put this in the thing, if you can control a poll in there, or if I have to do it.
I think I can. Let me take a look. Okay.
The poll is of you two people watching. Do you think that this art right here is cool enough to be a shirt for the show? That is the question. Yes, no, I don't wear shirts. Those are the three options. Yes, no, I go chestless. Like, I bare my chest all the time. There's three options. So, all right. So once you get that poll going, then we'll start into comic reviews.
It will not let me make a poll.
All right, then I will do it while you do. You do the first book then while I make the
poll. Okay, I will do
the first poll. We'll have another poll a little later.
Let me see. Can I find this? This is going to be weird, but I'll just do this. First book. Well, we were doing Batman together, right?
Correct.
Oh my god. I didn't have any screenshots ready to go. I got these, squeezed these all in this morning. Ghost Rider number, stay up there. Ghost Rider number 2 is mine. Look at this cover. This is gorgeous. So Ghost Rider, the first issue, we found out Johnny Blaze is in this utopia where he has a wife and a kid and a family, and he's normal, and he's been separated from whatever, you know, from Ghost Rider itself, or so he thought. He is freed, and this is where we pick up. He is now trying to find some vengeance for whoever has done this to him. He has broken free of this thing. It's kind of a weird start to have him break out of it so quickly. I thought maybe they would have did an issue or two of him being like tortured, you know, there. But it starts with him. He's on the road. He is trying to find himself, and his bike is busted. He's traveling across the country, trying to, I guess, kind of discover himself. He comes to this inn and is staying there and offers help and service. And in exchange for, find a good picture, in exchange for, you know, room and board. There's some really weird things in here. You see the scar that he has on his head with the eyeball coming out of it, which we talked about with the last issue. But basically the guy that owns this inn is a terrible person, and he is watching families through two-way mirrors, and he is offering them up. See if I can find it here. He is offering them up to this monster. And basically what happens is Ghost Rider, you know, realizes that vengeance is needed. He takes over Johnny Blaze, finds wherever this offering is happening, and stops the monster. And the monster says to him, like, we were told that you were out of the picture and this is our time. And he's, you know, you're wrong, like, tells the monster that he lied. Little fight with the monster, defeats him. And there's some questions that are left after this. It was a little all over the place. Probably not my best review, but, I didn't really have my pictures prepped. So, did my screen share stop? It was a good issue. There's some weird things with this lady that works for the FBI, who's a little odd and talks about how she can see things, but when she sees things, they're bad things and they happen. And she's the one that kind of comes to the picture at the end when this inn is being burned down, and she's kind of on Johnny Blaze's trail. But the way she talks about it is like, she's like, I'm going to find out who you are. And I'm like, I feel like everybody knows who Ghost Rider is at this point. So it's a little weird. But, you know, first two issues, good. It's some good Ghost Rider stuff. Good classic Ghost Rider.
Awesome. Cool. I dig it. It like the action shots remind me a lot of like the all new Ghost Rider, Robbie Rodriguez stuff. And the, yeah. The Venom, was it Circle of Five? Like where it was like,
yeah,
the Ghost Rider, yep, and Venom mini. Like that was, it, yep, really reminds me of that kind of, those kind of shots. Like I really,
Red Hulk, yeah. Red Hulk, Wolverine. Yeah.
Yeah, I dug it a lot. All right. So my first book is Hulk Grand Design Monster number one. This is one of two books that Jim gets to do. The other one is Madness, which comes out right in time for Free Comic Book Day. The style of this, I love the paper they use for this. It's just killer. I like Jim's art of, I'm going to say this, it's going to sound terrible, but of the three Pittsburgh guys that run together, which is Ed, Jim, and Tom. I like Jim's art the best because it's not as busy as Ed's, and it's not as like cartoony, I guess I should say, as some of Tom's work. Like Jim's is like very much so. It reminds me of like actual cartoons. But it works, like there's homage pages to like She-Hulk that look like it could have been right out of the John Byrne stuff. There's other, like there's a whole page that is basically Hulk 181 that looks just like it, just like Herb Trimpe would have drawn it. So this book is kind of cool. So, it, you know, in true fashion of Grand Designs, it kind of plows through a whole bunch of history at one time. So it starts off, you know, with you know, the original origin of the Hulk, and goes all the way up through pretty much right before Peter David takes over. So you get a ton of information, and it goes very quick. There's things that I forgot even happened in the Marvel Universe in here, like Miss MODOK is in here.
Nice.
And like it's just funny how like how many times it goes back and forth between like Hulk is, or Banner has control, Banner doesn't have control, Hulk and Banner are two different things, Hulk and Banner are one thing, Hulk's intelligent, Hulk's dumb. Oh yeah, here's that that page I was telling you about.
Yeah,
right, like it's,
yeah,
almost identical. And it, you know, it has little quips and things in there too of like what of some things like man, where is a good one? There was a really funny one where it's like Hulk not stupid or something. Like he like puts the right Hulk phrase at the right time for whatever they need to do. But it's got like Doc Samson. It talks about Abomination. Oh, there's like a throw to where when Hulk goes and joins a hippie commune and it's the Fabulous Furry Freak Brothers like standing behind him.
Nice.
Oh yeah. Jimmy Carter, here's the She-Hulk page. Whoops. There you go.
That's so cool.
Yeah. So like it covers a lot of ground. I think of the grand designs, this one is I think it flows very well. It flows a lot like the X-Men one, but I think the art feels more like comic book. You know, and he's kind of got like I said, Jim's kind of got this cool almost Mike Allred-y style to him.
I was gonna say that. Yeah. Especially with when some of the colors, like with the less shading, you know.
Oh yeah, like the first two pages like are basically, yeah, Mike Allred, right? Yeah. So definitely
I like his art the best too. I agree with you on that. I think the one thing that bums me out is that for Fantastic Four and for Hulk, these are, you know, they have just as much history as X-Men. And X-Men got three sets of two for grand design. And they shoveled everything in for Fantastic Four into two issues. And I just felt like it would have flowed a lot better. And read a lot better if they just gave him four issues, you know.
Oh yeah. Well, they also made it like he jammed it all into those two, and it was like 16 panels per page. Like,
yeah.
Like, so the lettering they were really like small. Yeah.
You actually have to, if you get the Treasury edition, it reads a lot nicer because everything's just, you can see it a lot better. So that's my only thing. I just wish they would have been able to have at least, you know, four issues
agreed
instead of two.
Agreed. So. Yeah. But definitely pick it up. And like I said, Jim will be at the Mills 12 to 3 on Saturday. You can call out there tomorrow or use the Comic Hub app. Just sync with that store and you can actually request or pre-buy that book. And then you can just go pick it up. And they have like five or six different variants out there. So go check them out. So.
So this is my second book. This is the last issue of the Dark Ages miniseries, Dark Ages number 6. If you didn't read this, basically it's an alternate reality kind of thing, and there's this being called the Unmaker that is trapped in the center of the earth by the Living Tribunal, and it is put to sleep. And now Apocalypse wants to harness the power of this thing for himself. In an effort to stop them, Doctor Strange had opened up a portal, but got killed. And it left this worldwide like EMP kind of burst happen. And anything that was technology was down. So you had to do things like you see here, steam engine, Iron Man, stuff like that. So this is the final issue. And I just would like to say, I'm reading Tom Taylor in this. I'm reading Tom Taylor in Nightwing. I'm reading Tom Taylor in
Son of
Kal-El.
Superman. Yeah.
I read him in All New Wolverine, and this guy should be locked down. Somebody should lock. He is a great writer with great ideas that are very fresh. And I feel like he could be a game changer if any of those companies could lock him down. So in the last issue, it ended with, they came face to face with Miles, who had, it was three of them. Miles was trapped inside the Venom suit, which was swallowed by the Carnage suit. And this is him kind of recapping his story. And if you're reading this, you know that Apocalypse is using Kilgrave to control different heroes to get them to do what he wants. That's why he's got people like Riri, Williams, Iron Man, Reed, and Beast working for him because he's going to create this this energy blast in this pocket where he can technology, I guess, can exist, so he can absorb the energy of this god, this the Unmaker. So he says, you know, we need Iron Man tells me, he's like, you know, I need some metal, but he's like, you know, we need adamantium and we don't have as much as we need. And Apocalypse is like, oh, I got your adamantium, I can help you out with that. And boom, he teleports here, where you see Wolverine is trapped underground for several years, and he shows up and he has Cyclops.
Wait, hold on. And, so he's been down there for several years, but that's how big his beard is. That's it.
Well, I mean, he has knives on his hands.
Oh yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah. Okay.
So sorry. He could cut him. Yeah.
I guess.
If it, okay, you know, so yes. Well, we'll, I digress. We'll use that, but
okay.
So basically Killmonger's like, open your eyes, and he does, and we realize, oh, this is how you can kill Wolverine. which was kind of badass. He just shreds him till there's nothing left and then tosses the skeleton down. It's like, hey, here you go. Here's your adamantium. While he's, you know, while Tony is about to begin work on this, Apocalypse is pulled aside by Dr. Octopus, and he's like, you know, if you do this and you move your mind into the Unmaker, like, your powers aren't going to work. We might not be able to get you out. And the only way for you to get out would be to break the planet apart. And that's when he finds out that that's Apocalypse's plan the entire time. He doesn't care about Earth or any of that. He wants to destroy it all. And he's like, well, you're a little too clever. You figured out my plans. And he rips him in half. And if you want to see, if you want to see heroes and bad guys and people in the Marvel Universe die in really cool ways that doesn't matter because it's an alternate universe, then you're going to want to read this 6-issue miniseries because it's freaking cool. There's a lot of people that die.
That's awesome.
So this is the Cavalry. I feel like I messed that up. They're showing up there. They're going to try and stop Dr. Doom. Pepper Potts is in the Iron Man armor. The little girl is May Parker. They're kind of, I guess they would be probably around 10 or 11 there.
Okay.
And they're going to break in and they're going to stop Dr. Doom. And Storm breaks in. She kind of gets a fight going. And these are the heroes and the bad guys that Apocalypse has just kind of been holding on to for this moment. And he unleashes them. What happens next is an amazing fight. And I don't want to give it away, but it is fantastic. The writing is great. It's a lot of fun. Like I said, there's people that just die all over the place. And you're kind of like, oh, and then you're like, oh, I guess it doesn't really matter. So I can just have fun with this book of lots of people dying. If you name a hero, I'll tell you if they die or not. Because it won't matter. There's a lot of heroes that die.
Fair enough.
And Ivan Coelho's art is like just fire. So I would just get it. Just people just read it. I want to talk to somebody about it. I can't talk about
it. I will tell ending. You, like you were flipping through that. I'm like, damn, the art in this book is really, really good. I like the character design. Like it's got that mix between
Joe Mad.
Age of Apocalypse and like the current ish stuff, like style.
Yeah.
I really dig it. It's good.
He definitely has like a Joe Mad style as far as like that anime look to his art. It's fantastic. Anyways.
Right. All right. So for those of you who missed it, the poll is this art cool enough to be on a t-shirt? And would you wear it? So more, is it cool enough to be put on a t-shirt? If you're not going to wear it, I don't really care. I just want to know if you want to put it on a shirt. I'm trying to settle an argument with a friend. All right. My next book, Ranger Stranger number 2. In true fashion, it is absolutely absurd. The first story is it's like two full pages of how like national parks don't even care, like, or they don't even like keep a log of missing people. And he steps outside and the little girl is like playing, like she's basically has like a, like she's like summoning demons and there's like spikes with people parts on it, and he's just like, oh no, not again. He's like, oh, little scamp, what are we gonna do with you? And you know, there's ones where they make fun of the little beaver guy. There's one where the girl buys a stuffed squirrel and it ends up having like a nanny cam in it. So to get revenge on the pervy guy that sold the nanny cam, the ranger takes it in the bathroom and tells everyone else to go outside and play in the woods. Like there's one where they turn the hot spring into a day spa, but it's way too hot and it just like annihilates people. There's so many really good ones in this, I'm not going to go through all of them, but the one with the rabbits, absolutely hilarious. And the last one that I'll talk about is very, actually the very last thing. It's like Fireside Stories and it's like all about splints. And it shows like a guy who's like face down and has, you know, fallen, and they're like, yes. And then the rest of these are no's, and it's like, turn his head so far that it pops off, take his driver's license, peel his face off, put his face off and pretend to be him at his house, pretend to have a cookout while wearing his face with his family, wear his face and help his son build a toy plane, mow the lawn and say hello to the neighbors. And it's loaded with like fake ads and stuff. I follow these guys on Instagram, and this book is just so, so freaking hilarious.
You always really find the interesting ones. You know?
It is the most interesting and most awkward, awkward thing in the world. I like to find these like real bizarre, funny things, and they're all a bunch of shorts, so you're not like invested a ton in it.
When I bought it and move on.
When I had this in my pile at Ohio, Bo's like, you know, you and I are the only two people that buy this book. And I'm like, oh, bro, we got to get more people into this book. It's so hilarious.
I'm sure their families and friends buy it.
I'm sure too. I know there's other people in the stores. I bet you any money Dan Hanna will buy this book because it's that, 100%. It's so ridiculous.
100% he would.
Right, so definitely check it out. Like, it's if you,
I just sold him laugh. It was in the dollar bin, but Mad Balls number 1.
Yep.
So I think that should tell you if Dan's
awesome
would get that book. So, so we got one we did together, right?
Yep.
I can just pull up the whole book. So this is Curse of the White Knight. This is Batman Beyond the White Knight. This is the fourth iteration of Sean Murphy's Batman masterpiece. And I feel like it's safe to call it that now, don't you? Like,
I do too. I have loved this book since the first iteration.
Yeah.
I'm a big Sean Murphy fan. And I loved like oh man, his Punk Rock Jesus book was the one that really sucked me in for him. But like this book has just been so good and has hit all the right beats for me.
Yeah.
The only one that actually wasn't great for me was the Harley mini, but it also wasn't Murphy's art.
Yeah.
And I don't think he wrote it either. But
all I know is he finds, and I think we said this before, he finds the right balance of whatever darkness DC wants to go for and the Batman animated series stuff that I love. You know, like he hits like that middle ground for both of those things. Like he understands the characters that way and respects them, but also enough to put them through different stories. Like this isn't just like, these aren't like an alternate reality version of like stories we've already read before, you know?
Right.
That's what I think that, is cool.
I think that like it's his use of just black tones are like so they work so well with Batman in general. Like he like his Batman black and white run was awesome. But the way he draws like that kind of a figure, like the dirty mystery, like secretive looking dude, like that works. And this book really hit all the tones of like the Batman Beyond cartoon without going full animated style to it, which I really, really enjoyed. By the way, I actually have there's a bunch of stuff going around about how you can't get this cover. That's bullshit. It just was late. So I got this at the A cover.
The A cover, yeah.
Yeah. It just came late because they had a printing issue. So you can get your A covers. If you don't have them right, if they don't have them right now, they'll have them next week. Just some short stories got shorted.
Is a good example of what you were talking about with the blacks. And I love the way that he tells the story this way. So this is him and we'll skip back, but I just wanted to pull up this example. This is him and Jason Todd, Batman and Jason Todd talking. And then it kind of goes into this reflection underneath of him and Robin. And it's just like, it's such a simple thing, but it's also really creative the way he does it. And the blacks just really make the story come to life.
Yeah, I like the there's a lot of cast shadow of Bruce into Batman in this book that works really well.
Yeah, him. There was one of Harley, you know, when she's using the meat tenderizer. But it opens up with this is Terry McGinnis, and he is working for somebody to spelunk into the Batcave, which is a now, I guess, a historical site. To recover this high-tech Batman suit. And Dick Grayson, who works for called the GTO? Ends up finding him, and they're trying to arrest him, and he puts the suit on. And it's just so gnarly. It's so cool. And finds out what the suit can do, like, just real quick. And fights off the guys, gets free, and I think what was the guy's name? It was Derek Powers. And in this story, Derek Powers, if you remember, Batman, Bruce Wayne had created some kind of a fund to help reshape Gotham with the rest of his money, and this Derek Powers had stepped in and stopped Wayne Enterprises from being liquidated, and now he controls it all. So he's obviously going to be your kind of bad guy in this.
In the cartoon, he ends up becoming what's his name, like the radioactive dude.
With the skeleton,
right? So we'll see if that happens in this. I kind of hope it does, but I also kind of hope it doesn't, because I always thought that was like really gimmicky. Like,
well, you can tell that they're hinting at it in that bottom right corner, because you see that picture, he's talking to him on that comm and the background's green. So at the very least, they're hinting at it. after that, we cut to back to the prison, and the sons of Azrael are having a riot, and they capture Jason Todd, who is one of the police officers there. And who comes in to save him? Bruce Wayne.
Oh, there was a good Batman shadow there that you...
Oh, yeah. Was it in that previous one? Yeah, there it is.
Yeah, right there. Yep, that was the first one. Yep.
Yeah. Well, there's two, actually. There's one on the left panel. But that one you're talking about, it actually has, you know, him standing there. And they do that a couple times in this story. So they're like, you know, why would you do this? Why should we spare him? And he's like, because... you tried how did he phrase
Jean-Paul Valley owes me a debt for saving his life. It's literally the panel you have up right now.
Oh yeah, there it is. Sorry. Because blood transfusion. He almost killed him, and then he gave him some of his blood. So he's like, if you respect his bloodline, he's like, then you have to respect me, because my blood is now in him. So they let Jason Todd go. The debt is paid. They kind of get out here and they have a heart to heart and a talk. And this is kind of where you get to see Bruce Wayne in a way that you never see him before, because he's never really apologized or anything. And you see him feel bad about what he did with Jason Todd. And, you know, they're going over they're kind of like their whole history together, meeting, and him as Robin, and said that, you know, I should have been a father to you guys and I wasn't. And I think that that's all you guys ever wanted, and I didn't do that. So I thought it was a cool moment for Batman, almost like, you know, a prisoner, you know, realizing the things they did wrong with their life with all the extra time that they have while they're sitting in prison. That was kind of how I took it. Mm-hmm. So, another couple cool shots of, you know, with the Batman.
There's another bat shadow. Yep.
Yeah, there's a couple there. GTO breaks in, that's when Bruce Wayne realizes Derek Powers, as you can see there, is the one that has taken over Bruce Wayne's estate. Here's a little backstory on that whole thing there. This is the Signal. What's his name?
Duke.
His name. Duke, yeah. And he has a little conversation with Duke, and he finds out that basically Wayne Enterprises has been turned into a weapons manufacturer, and Gotham is in a police state that's patrolled by these, where's that picture at? These kind of supercharged Batman. And Bruce Wayne's kind of like livid about this. So that's kind of his mission, I guess, in this one, is he wants to stop him. And we don't know how Terry McGinnis is necessarily mixed up in all of this yet. I'm sure at some point him and Batman will cross paths, and he'll realize that, you know, Powers is kind of the bad guy.
I'm pretty sure that's what it's gonna be. I think we'll see like a Batman fight. Batman fight. Yeah. And then, you know, we'll see that, you know, Bruce talks and, like, you know, talks sense into him or whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe at the end they both fight him and he does turn into whatever his name was, as a radioactive nuking.
Yeah.
Whatever his name was,
villain. And there's some more stuff in there with Harley that kind of continues her story. And then there's something in here that... we didn't show you.
None of us saw coming. Yeah.
Well, then don't forget the thing with Red Hood, where he takes his own ward.
Well, that and the fact that Jason Todd is the first Robin in this universe.
Yes. So, and I guess they're going to come out with a one-shot special for Jason Todd and this Robin that was his ward.
Right.
So
there, I really wish they would have kept it as Scarlet, though, because that was his ward, and as when he was the first incarnation of Red Hood. Like in the, was that Grant Morrison Batman and Robin run, and then like New 52, like when Dick was Batman.
I didn't read a lot of the New 52 stuff.
And Scarlet was like, she was like a victim of Professor Pig, like she had somebody else's face on her.
Oh,
so yeah, but I thought there's it was a couple cool. surprises. Like I thought the scene with the twins was really great. Like, you see the twins kind of as teenagers now. That's really cool. Harley is still wearing midriff cutoff shirts, which kind of weirded me out, but whatever. Go mom. Other than that, man, like, I just thought it was great. Like, it was probably one of the best books I've read in a while.
And there's so many little hints of things to come in that first issue that have me excited to read the rest of it. And I'm okay with the fact that he takes such long breaks in between all these, because it's worth it by the time you get to it.
Cool. All right. So the votes are in, the poll is over, and it was a 50-50 split for the two people who voted. Somebody doesn't think that's cool. Now maybe they don't think they'd buy the shirt. I don't know.
Maybe they're one of those people you said that doesn't wear t-shirts.
Well, that was an option. It's I don't wear t-shirts.
Oh.
So I didn't get that at all. Maybe they just don't they don't think it was cool enough. I think they're wrong. Anyway, so we're gonna take the last like 10 or 15 minutes of the show to talk about Moon Knight. Episode one. So if you have not watched it, you need to get out of here. It is spoiler time. Get out. And go watch it, because it's freaking amazing.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably enough time. I'm going to put up the new poll for the people that did watch it. And this poll is, who did the voice in the head better, Venom or Moon Knight? Because I will tell you right now, the only real complaint I had was and it's not really that much of a complaint. It's more like, every time I heard it, I just was like, oh, balls. That's Venom. Oh, that's Venom. Like, it just kept popping in my head. Like, I kept hearing it, even though I'm like, it's not all Eddie. Like, but it was just like, oh, crap. But I watched this episode, and I told my buddies, I have a group chat with some friends, and I said, if you guys have no idea who this character is, you're probably going to be really lost. Let me know if I can answer questions. And he was like, they were both like, oh, I think we'll be good. So they get through it, and they were both like, I was almost lost, but it was very, very good. They're like, I have to watch it again to really understand it. I'm like, cool, totally fine. They're like, but my wife totally had no idea what the hell was going on the whole time. And I was like, okay.
I think the thing that's going to be that's interesting, if you're a fan of old Moon Knight and not the new stuff, or vice versa, is the old Moon Knight, he had these personas, but he wasn't necessarily like schizo or anything like that. He just had, you know, I'm the cab driver, I'm the rich guy, you know, all these different things. And he used them to his advantage as Moon Knight. And then I want to say around the David Finch, was it Charles Huston or Houston?
Heston,
maybe, or that
Houston. Yeah. Houston. Yep.
that run, I feel like, started to introduce a little of the psychology part. He had killed Bushwhacker, cut his face off, and then was being haunted by that in his head. I feel like that kind of started it down that path. I could be wrong. But
to get it real schizo? No. The Bendis mini that came before that.
No, the Bendis one for sure did, because he had like all those different like personas as like, you know, Spider-Man and Captain America and Wolverine and stuff. Right. But I mean, I think that David Finch one kind of started it down that path, because you're playing with that guy that, you know, Bushwhacker in his head was constantly like haunting him in everything that he did. So, and then I feel like Bendis probably took it and just Bendis'd it and like amped it up like times 10 and really made it crazy.
Yeah, I always felt like even in Mark's the tail end of Mark Spector and Vengeance of Moon Knight, I felt that he was a little on the he had all these different personalities, but how you kind of put like he made them work for each other. But they were aware of each other. Like, you know, they weren't like 100% like a different thing. But yeah, I think the Bemis run then is kind of what we're going to end up kind of seeing with this. But I also feel that you're going to get a bunch of ties to Eternals.
You think?
Yep. So,
what made you think that?
Two things. One, the same museum he works at is the same museum that they show in the Eternals, the one in London. And I like the way that the demon hound kind of looked. Kind of looked like it could have been like a variant of a deviant, right?
Yeah.
And all of that could work into the fact that somewhere back in ancient Egypt, an eternal or something an eternal made caused all this stuff to go into play. So I feel that that's where it's going to come in. Just me, I could be totally wrong. But I think this would be the one that makes the most sense.
Eternals is very important to the future of what's going to be happening in the MCU. So I don't doubt that. To kind of backtrack and start at the beginning, it was interesting that you're like, hey, here's this character, and maybe you don't know about it, but we're going to open up on the villain first.
Yeah.
And I thought that was kind of interesting. You know, putting the broken glass in his shoes and then walking around in his shoes, and that's kind of all you see him do is just like
it was crystal, my glass
friend.
crystal,
because whatever he did it is, it was sharp, he did
the circle thing, and it made a
sound. And it was in his shoes,
and it was so in it his could shoes. Have been,
it could have been Legos,
fire walk with me all the time. I mean,
they did a really good job with like the. Making you feel the terror of
of Ethan Hawke.
What happens if you? Well, no, like I mean, like yeah, he, I'm not a fan of his anyway. So
me either. But I really am liking what they've done with him so far. Like I really like how his character has been tempered and delivered, and it's probably one of the better Ethan Hawke deliveries I've seen in a really long time. Really, really long.
I'm talking when I say like the terror. I'm talking about like. From Mark Spector, like blacking out, and then like you're in this scene where like you're getting chased down by this moon god and these monsters, and then all of a sudden you just like wake up and you're on the bus, you know, and it's like how terrifying would that be, you know, to just to live that. You kind of could. I felt like that I could feel it, you know. It was kind of scaring the crap out of me. Like, shit, what if I'm this whole thing that I'm living, you know? But it can't be a dream. New Dimension Comics, my dream job. It can't be a dream. It has
to be really a nightmare.
No.
I thought they did a good job with that. There was some great action scenes. I love the little twist that, because this is Mark Spector, and Mark Spector that we know is like the rich kind of playboy, like Batman, Bruce Wayne kind of guy. Instead, we kind of got this like oddball Mr. Bean kind of like British dude. Yeah.
You know? Steven. I'm curious if they're going to go into the other one. If I remember right, there was always three. It was Mark, Steven, and like another one, but I don't remember if that's totally 100% canon, if I remember right.
Steven was the cab driver.
That's what I thought. But but if you look, when he finds the phone where he calls Layla and she says, Mark, there's an Uber key. A car with an Uber thing hanging off of it.
Oh, nice.
So maybe Mark is the cab driver and Steven is the, like, whatever he is, the gift shop guy.
So was he calling Layla or was he receiving calls and missing them?
And who she was calling that phone like a lot and he hit call back. Jake was the cab driver.
Jake, that's right. Like Jake Lockley or something like that.
Right. So maybe the phone belongs to Mark, the Uber key belongs to Jake, and he's Steven right now. So maybe that's just how we're gonna get it. But Layla is Mark's like girlfriend
Marlene is who was his girlfriend.
I don't think so.
I thought it was Marlene. I was pretty sure it was Marlene, but who knows? It's so hard to tell because,
you got to remember, which version are we talking about? It's crazy. Hold on, I'm gonna pull up the character on Wikipedia and see if it kicks it to the actual version of her.
I like that there wasn't a lot of little hints to a bunch of things. I mean, there's things you could speculate about, but it was pretty much, it's Moon Knight. This is the show.
Layla's supposed to be a fellow Egyptian archaeologist and adventurer. That character was originally not Egyptian, but they changed it for the show. That's all. That's all it really says.
Okay.
It'll be good.
Okay. So
Steven was the Playboy billionaire in the comics. That's pretty much it. Thank you, Dan, for being extremely informational.
So Steven was informative. The Playboy. Mark.
So Mark was
the mercenary?
Yeah. I guess that's how that works. Oh, so that would explain why when he's in the bathroom, both sides of the mirror are talking to him. So one might be Jake and one might be Mark, or they might just not do Jake at all.
That was awesome. I loved how they did that. You know,
yeah.
I thought that was really, they have scenes like that in each one of the shows so far. I thought that was a cool scene. It kind of reminded me of the car chase scene in Hawkeye where you're kind of getting like that 360, like all the way around while they were fighting, or the once off, or whatever it's called, the one in Loki where they just did the one take all the way through. So
the one-er.
But I don't know. I like the first episode, even though like you really don't see Moon Knight until the end. Getting to see our buddy Declan's design for like Khonshu. That was really cool. I was really excited for him. I can't even imagine what that would be like to just like, you know, something you designed ends up being in, like, you know, used as the designs for that show or movie. There were some pretty terrifying parts, you know, too, with that thing, just like the lights going out, and then it's like right there on you, and then
the whole episode really had like a Netflix Daredevil vibe to me,
without being too over the top. Like,
yeah, right,
they pulled back in some ways. It was like, here's the blackout, he wakes up, I got blood all over my hands, you know what I mean? You didn't really see that first like taste of like real violence until he's pummeling the shit out of that dog.
I take it back. It's werewolf. Like, it's like a well, it could be werewolf.
By night.
It had like certain times I'm like, man, this feels like Daredevil. Certain times I'm like, man, this feels like Ant-Man. So like, you know, like the really, really bright scenes reminded me a lot of Ant-Man, and like the darker what the hell's going on scenes reminded me of like the first season of Daredevil. So that's why I was very, very excited about. So and I really dig it. I'm really sad it's only 6 episodes.
But that's sad we didn't get 2 for the first week.
So speaking of which, did you hear about Obi-Wan?
Yep.
Okay, so did you now hear that it's now back to Wednesday, though?
Yeah, but the 27th.
No, the 25th. They pushed it back to the
25th.
So originally it was going to be the 25th one episode. Then it was, we're moving into the 27th and doing 2 episodes instead. And then all the Star Wars fans in the world lost their shit at once and prayed to their statues of George Lucas. And Disney went, okay, we'll move it back to the 25th. And, you know, my friends and I were talking about, like, is it because, you know, we have Marvel stuff that comes out on the Wednesdays that works better, and the Star Wars stuff works better on Fridays? Is it...
That was kind of how I liked it.
I thought it was actually more of... I thought they were going to do a break for theater, like a theater screening that night, like a world premiere type thing, so they could get all the extra money from people who don't have Disney Plus to go to a theater and buy the screening stuff. And my friends thought I was nuts, but I think that was really why they were trying to do it. And that's why it was 2 episodes as 2 hours instead of 1. So it was like worth going.
I always liked the idea of Wednesday's my Marvel stuff, Friday's my Star Wars stuff. Because I feel like at some point they're going to get to the point where they have so much stuff. You know, if it wasn't for COVID, there'd be so many things coming out at once where, like, there's so much stuff where I get to watch a Marvel and a Star Wars thing in the same week. You know, that's the life goal. A Marvel and Star Wars in the same week every month for the rest of my life until the day I die. Hashtag restore the Snyderverse. What?
Wait, what?
Just kidding. Don't.
No,
I know.
Don't do that. Please don't.
It was a joke. It was a joke.
Hey, Ezra Miller got arrested, so maybe we won't get that.
I saw that. He was a little drunk in Hawaii, huh?
Yep. Yeah. So
I wonder if he got drunk and tried to run away real fast and fell.
If he was like,
you're not going to catch me. I'm out of here, copper.
I'm the Flash. Yeah. I'm going to go back in time and make you not born.
It's working good because there was like a little bit of lag, so it looked like you were running slow.
Well, I was doing it in slow-mo. I'm doing it in slow-mo. This would be like real, but
like running at an incredible rate, doesn't it?
I'm so fast, you can't see me. Like John Cena. No, sorry. I won't do that ever again. I promise.
I will do it every show.
It's just me tonight, guys. Sorry. I have the voice. I have the AI voice of Tim with me. So cool. Next week we have Marvin Wynn. And the week after that, we have both Marvin and then Howard Bender the week after that. Howard, drew this. He also worked on Action Comics, worked for Richie Rich, a couple of places. But we're going to talk to him about his crazy long career. I'm going to show you guys during that episode the other options that this almost was, like the other sketches that this was almost.
It's pretty sweet.
Yeah, basically, yeah, like the what if I chose something else instead. But they're pretty sweet. Like there's like four or five of them. It's actually pretty cool.
So. Well, now we have a bus disaster for next year.
I know, right?
Pull the bus out of Frick Park. Maybe that could, right? if Pittsburgh will cooperate with us, maybe every year we can have a logo where superheroes are pulling a bus out of something.
I have a couple ideas. Like, but if our show was in December, I would totally have it like Alfred E. Newman hanging the bus like on a Christmas tree, like full on Mad Magazine style.
Yeah.
But that's not going to happen. So,
and nobody died, so it's okay to make those jokes.
That's true. And I bought the shirt to support the people who got hurt. So, me too, man. I gotta get up early tomorrow too. So,
tired.
All right, cool.
Well,
thanks, guys. See everybody next week. And
peace, everybody,
support your local comic shop. Bye bye.
Read comics later.